Oh, yes. This is the Hardcore Marketing Show. I'm Casey Cheshire, your host for this epic journey. Today's show is sponsored by Ringmaster on a mission to launch B2B podcasts that create relationships, generate revenue, and drive growth. Ringmasterlive.com. Bam. All right. The button has been pressed. The adventure is about to begin. I'm excited. You know, put your tray tables up. Let's freaking go. I can't wait to introduce my guest today. He's an absolute rock star. Well, who is he, Casey? What's he doing? Well, he's a B2B marketer, a leader, a content genius, a writer, a strategist, and a brand storyteller. All these things wrapped up, and we're going to be picking his brain, talking stories and media and content. Lots of things going on here. It's all about telling, not selling. Director of Content Strategy at Freshworks, Mike Goldberg. Welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hell yeah. Let's freaking go, man. I can't wait to pass you this thing. It's heavy, but I know you work out, so here it comes. Okay, here you go. Thor's hammer. Go ahead, take that. You want to grab that?
Yes. Oh, glad I went to the gym this morning.
You got it? Oh, there we go. All right. Okay, great. So take Thor's hammer, smash for me some kind of marketing myth, bogus strategy, misconception, set the record straight once and for all.
Yeah, sure thing. So the biggest myth that I'm seeing these days is that content marketers are just writers. That's all they can do. Churn out blogs, churn out white papers. But that is the farthest from the truth. You mentioned in that pretty wonderful introduction you gave me that I'm a storyteller. And that's what content marketers are. And that story is not just beholden to the written word. It's the visual word. It's the look, the feel. It's everything. Content marketers are not just writers. They're producers. They're producing all types of content, all different formats. So when I hear people say, oh, I'm looking for a content marketer that can write a 500-word blog, well, then you're looking for a blog writer and not a content marketer.
Boom. Then you're looking for a blog writer. Okay. Talk to me about the origin of this myth. Why are people still wrapped up in this? Why are we in this old school mentality? Where does this come from?
Well, I think everyone's still stuck on the word content. And everybody's been throwing that word around for so long. And it's kind of morphed and changed meaning so many times. I think probably the definition in the past month has just changed with the emergence of AI and although Gen AI and ChatGPT can write content. Well, that's great. Does it write it well? That's for other people to debate on another show. But
right.
I think people just assume a content means writing. And in the early days, I think when marketers started to want to produce more content, they realized they can hire journalists to help do that. And don't get me wrong, I have a journalism background. I think journalists moving into marketing really created a big movement for marketing. It leveled up content production early on. But today, it's got to be more about than just writing a blog, like I mentioned, or an ebook. You've really got to think the whole gamut of how people are consuming media today. I hate to say, as a writer, people aren't reading anymore. People are just browsing and they're consuming video content. And a writer can tell a great story, but a content marketer today can take that story, boil it down, work with really smart video production people, and create a really great story and experience that jumps off the page. So, yeah, I think back to my original point, when you think content, people just go back to the original idea and this notion that it's just a writer or a journalist.
You know, it reminds me of like a Joe Rogan conversation where someone was saying that the book is always better. And, you know, sometimes I will say that because sometimes the book just has more depth to it than the movie. But Rogan like has this sort of comedic routine where he's like, no, it isn't. Like, did you just have elves running across your screen and like you actually seeing things and you're entertained? It's like, it's way better seeing it. And I wonder if even that it's so much more even for the marketing space where, yeah, like how many times have we talked to people like, yeah, I don't really read anymore. I'm on Audible. Or, I mean, if I'm reading though, it's like, it's hardcore fiction. It's not, I'm not here for, business books are hard, man. They're just so stuffed with junk that it's hard sitting down in a sitting and just reading through one.
Oh yeah, definitely. And you know, in the B2B space, there's so many people fighting for one person's attention and they're getting so much thrown at them. Like, so how are you going to break free? Like, of course, when it comes to long form fiction, and I'm going to read Stephen King, but when I'm looking to buy a service or solution, I don't want to read long, boring stuff where everyone's just trying to sell me. So it's really about like breaking through, getting their attention. And I think you need to do that visually more so.
And you know, it's interesting because I've also experienced the opposite of that where I'm trying to get an answer for something and then Google's like, well, here's a video to get your answer. I'm like, I don't want to sit through, hey guys, hit smash like and subscribe. You know, here's my silly intro. Like, I just want to your point, browse and get that summary, that answer in that case.
Mm-hmm.
But in more complex questions, I am down to see what's it look like on that cruise ship, you know, or what's it, you know, explain to me this complex setup and maybe a little bit of animation going on. So there's definitely a range is what I'm picking up, right? It's not just that word on a page anymore.
Yeah, yeah. There's definitely a need for some, you know, the written form of content, but it's got to be short. It's got to be digestible. No one's going to read long form content anymore, unless again it's you're reading Stephen King or one of the many authors I love. But you know, you got to get what you need right away.
So if you're a marketer and you're listening to this, or really anyone, how do you make that transformation from the word is most important thing to now I got to be a producer, right? I'm not a content writer. I need to be a marketing producer. How do I make that transition?
Well, for me, I think it's more about finding a space for the content marketing team to be much more embedded in the brand team, the social media team, certainly. So often you see content marketing siloed where all the other teams are like, oh, I need an ebook for this campaign, or I need a web page for this or that, go to the content team, write it, send it back to me. And then, you know, content marketers almost become like the order takers just to provide what's needed from the written word.
Right.
But I think content marketing needs to be embedded into the overall planning of a marketing campaign and a marketing go-to-market strategy, because content marketers can help tell that story. And it's going to be really critical to work with the brand team on getting the right look and feel and the voice, and the social media team to get that out there. There's only so much, you know, you can rely on these days for paid media. I've been in the ad space so long that I have a very interesting feeling of how people engage with banner ads and advertising. I don't think so.
Right.
So to rely on that to drive somebody to download an ebook, it's not going to happen. So how do you do that working with across different teams and creating a really interesting, visual, engaging, immersive story? You've got to do that across different teams. And content just has to be a really big part of that conversation early on.
Yeah. So, I mean, how does that become reality? Is that just everyone needs to launch a pod?
Yeah, the reality is easier for me to say than happens. And I think I think people just have to get accustomed to how the new way of working and what the ultimate end result is of, you know, creating this type of content, how it's going to be used, and looking at the results so you can compare and contrast. Hey, we did a 3-minute video that got 5,000 views in 2 weeks. That was a summary of an ebook that we had out in market for 6 months and had all this paid media going to, and it got like 50% of the engagement. You know, when you can start connecting the dots to actual metrics, that's when at least leadership and the people in charge start taking notice and try and help carving out the paths for teams to get things done faster.
And the speed, right? And getting that fresh information out to people matters too. How do you balance the evergreen content that everyone needs and lasts forever? Is that even a thing? Does it last forever with that like hot, updated, you know, recent information?
I still a believer in like the evergreen content, that one piece of content that if someone finds it in January, they're like, oh, wow, I need to know how I can use Gen AI to service my IT industry. And then, you know, down the road, people are still always looking for that. So when I say evergreen, I think the topic, the angle is stays the same. We can always go back and refresh it with some new stats just to validate it or add anything new in, but the basic story is not changing. So I definitely am a proponent of like evergreen content that fuels the needs of how people are searching, what they're looking for. I always like to say good content should be the answer to everyone's question, and a good content team should have the best answer. So I definitely love evergreen content for that purpose. But, you know, getting in on the latest trends and stuff, it's hard. You know, you want to have a unique perspective on something before anyone else does. And I think it's easier, honestly. It sounds harder, but it's easier to create a couple of videos and put them on your social channel to get that out there right away than going through the process of writing, drafting, reviewing, copy editing, publishing. And by the time that actually makes it out, well, then you're outdated. So
yeah,
that's the kind of balance I have between both approaches.
Where do you think people, where do they, what traps do they fall into? What are the big pitfalls, you know?
Oh, wow. You know, and from a content marketing perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm guilty as anyone else and being like, you know, when we say, all right, what's our audience want? What do they need? Okay, how do we go about that? It's us trying to sometimes weave in the brand story or the product story. And as much as I always say, as you quoted, it's about telling, not selling. It somehow always goes back to saying, well, here's how we do it. And let's inject our product story into this. And, you know, as I try very hard to do a separation of church and state between that. But it's often hard, given the goals or what we need to achieve and all the different teams are involved. You just sometimes always fall back into telling a product story.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you seen any sort of wacky types, like medium types? I mean, obviously, we got some standards like podcasts and videos. Have you done like movies or anything wacky that's sort of like out of the norm?
I've seen a fair share of companies producing like really long form movies. There was, Freshworks, before I came aboard, had produced a movie that they debuted in the London School of Economics, I believe.
Whoa.
It was like really cool. Like it's a documentary that could have been on PBS, honestly. That was like in depth, really well done. But, you know, it was done by a team that was a little bit disconnected from the rest of the team. That movie, which they created, which was as great as it was, didn't get used as much because it wasn't just built into the overall marketing plan. And there's so much content that you could have created to surround that. Like I would even go down to like, you know, summaries, like takeaways or cheat sheets or interactive ways after you've watched the movie to engage with that and learn more about the company. But again, it was produced in a silo. And you know, that's probably a common thing I'll talk about is silos. It ruined everything. So, that was unique. Not everyone can do that type of big movie type production.
Right.
And I also just look at immersive content in terms of like, you know, on web experiences, where there's moving pictures and charts that animate, you know, just simple things, but very pleasurable to your eye when you see it.
Right.
Which is something I love and I try to do as much as I can.
I had a question related to that and totally spaced on it. So another one that I had was around inspiration. Like where do you go to learn? So speaking earlier about, you know, books are not really the thing, you know, are there podcasts that you like to listen to? Where do you like to learn more about, you know, your industry?
Well, I like to learn from others that are doing what I'm doing. The Content Marketing Institute, it's a newsletter that I've subscribed to, and it's one of the few that I read all the time, because I just like to hear other people's challenges that are in the same boat as I am. And they're really smart and forward thinking about content. So just from a strategy perspective, they're great. But just in terms of like ideation and new ideas, I take that from everywhere, every which walk of life, not just B2B. Like, what are some other companies doing, from like, you know, Apple to like Coke? Like, what can we do that we can borrow from that would apply to our audience?
Yeah. Yeah. And like, it's that cross, you know, cross industry, cross, you know, it could be B2C, B2G even, but like, what are the different things that other people are trying that maybe hasn't even been thought of in our industry?
Yeah. Well, I like to say H to H, because just human to human is.
Yeah, it is. Like, in the end, right? It just really is just human to human.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm trying not to date myself, but I'm trying to understand the way younger people are consuming media and content. And it's all like TikTok style short videos. Even though I believe now they're actually going to longer form. So maybe now the trend is, all right, you people are consuming content so quickly, they love it. Now they want more. Maybe we're going back to long form, but it's got to be like very easy to digest. So, you know, I'm trying to keep up with the trends. I use my son to teach me.
How old is he?
He is 11, which is, he's the prime.
Mine's 10. So yeah, I'm learning what to do and what not to do. It's always fun to throw out some Gen Z vocabulary, though, and just make them cringe a little bit. Yes. You know? Yes. Hey, that's lit, right, guys? I'm like, oh, God, Dad, please. Exactly. Please.
Exactly. I say sus, and he's like, whoa, Dad, stop.
Yeah, sus, right? That's a good one. Well, my next question really is, like, who are you, right? Who are you? Can you take me back in time? The little Mike days, right? You know, your sus days, right? When you were a little kid, like your son is, you know, did you take me back then? Did you know you were going to grow into being like a content producer, a marketing producer, and all these things? What was it like back then?
Oh, well, you know, I said the big myth about content marketers not being writers. I wanted to be a writer. That's what I always wanted to do. I didn't know what that meant or looked like when I was young, but I knew I loved writing. So I went to school to study English and journalism. And I said, well, what can I do? Can I, you know, I want to write a book like every writer. So, but I knew that was not going to be, I'm going to be an author. That's in the back of my mind. But what can I do with my writing? So I studied broadcast journalism, and I worked at ABC News in Buffalo. For 6 months, internship. And then they put me in front of a camera and I said, nope, don't want to do this. Like, so what can I do to apply my writing to a profession? And I fell into marketing because I didn't know anything about marketing, but they were looking for someone that could just write because it was such a lost art. The first person that ever hired me told me on the interview, and this sticks with me, 23 years later, like, oh, don't worry, I can teach you everything you need to know about marketing, but I can't teach you to be a good writer, and that's what we need. So that's been foundational to everything I've been doing. I didn't know I'd be writing about AI and IT. I thought I'd be writing crazy stories, but maybe one day.
Maybe one day, right? Well, I have a bit of a hypothetical question for you. Because I may or may not have a time machine up here in New Hampshire, right? So you come visit, maybe you got an event in Boston, maybe it's inbound or something, and you come visit, get some lobster, some beer, and we use the time machine. But it's a particular kind, and it goes back in time, and you get to meet yourself a couple days after getting that English degree, right? You just graduated a couple days ago, and you get to go visit that Mike, right? What would you say to your younger self? What kind of advice would you give yourself?
Oh, I mean, everything I know now, I would say, don't go English, go back into computers and do something where the world is heading. And I think we'll always need good writers, but not in any way I could have fathomed the way the world is today. So, yeah, I mean, that's not the greatest answer because I'm just thinking.
Well, it's practical.
Yeah, I'm just thinking real time. Obviously, you know, invest in Apple and Amazon. But
yeah.
Yeah. Just think.
It's so true.
Think tech.
Yeah. Do you think, I mean, would you learn how to code if you went back? Are you even learning now, like how to code?
I'm not learning now because from what I hear, AI can do that too, but
right. So that's the point,
right? Yeah. But if I could learn something in terms of machine learning and training data, if only I knew. But
yeah, huh? I'm thinking of teaching my son Python,
right?
And I never learned that either. It's funny, like some of the, I learned like BASIC back in the day. They don't even do that anymore. Like, it's not even a language that's so. Like, okay, I guess we both need to learn Python.
Until that gets replaced with the next.
That gets replaced, yeah. Yeah. But there are a lot of other apps that are like, oh, we'll teach your kid how to do this silly language that doesn't even have code. It's just a bunch of squares moving around. It's like, all right, we don't need like two-year-old coding. Let's roll up our sleeves here. But yeah, it's always interesting to think about having some sort of technical background to understand the developing tech going on around you or somehow getting a hold of it or getting a handle on it.
Sure.
So awesome, man. Hey, if people want to reach out and connect and with you or learn more about what, you know, the company you're at, where do you want them to go? What URLs, what social apps, where are you at?
Well, if anyone's listening to this that's in IT or customer service, they should learn about Freshworks.
Nice.
We're helping drive content. So Freshworks.com is there and a very up-and-coming SaaS platform. So it's been a really exciting time for me to be there the past year. Personally, it's just my LinkedIn. I have my website where you can, MikeGoldbergB2B.com, where I throw everything I've ever written on there.
Wow. Everything you've ever written is on there.
Everything. Well, everything B2B.
Right. I gotta check that out. And then if you were to write a fiction book, what genre would it be?
Horror.
Horror. Wow. Oh, that's right. Cause you mentioned the Stephen King and everything like that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. And is there one in the works?
There's always one in the works.
Totally. There is always one in the works.
It's in the works, as I've been saying for years.
Life of a writer, and now a producer, content producer, marketing producer. Sick, man. Well, Mike, thank you so much for coming on here, talking story with me, you know, battling out the AI and the different kinds of mediums and different things we can publish. I really appreciate it. This has been great.
Yeah, no, this was fun. Thanks for having me again.
Awesome. And for those listening, if you learned something, and I freaking know you did, because I got 2 pages of notes over here, front and back, then share this episode with someone else, one person, 9,000 people. Whatever, but put what you learned on there, your thought leadership, what your takeaways were, put it on LinkedIn, tag Mike, tag me. We'll have a little LinkedIn party over there. And yeah, that's how you get good information around the place is by doing that. But thanks again, Mike. I appreciate you, man.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
All right, everyone. This has been a crazy cool episode of the Hardcore Marketing Show. We will catch you all next time.